As you listen to the broadcast this morning, our speaker is Joe Donnell. The main thing about Joe, he loves Jesus and he's a friend of COC. And we're just delighted to have him and part of his staff with us today. And God bless you, Joe, as you minister.
But it's good to be with the family of God, right? You know, growing up in all of our families, you know, we all have those relatives, you know what I mean? But there's an unconditional love no matter where we go. There's that identifies and marks us as his followers, as his children. And what was shared, there was a majority of everything spoken was prophecy that was coming forth. I don't know if you picked up on that. But if we're open, God will begin to speak through us, and sometimes we don't even know it. And it's a powerful thing. So what I'm going to share with you has already been pretty much shared. But it's just a confirmation to that this is what the Lord is saying. I'm going to share some thoughts, a couple scriptures that I was given on the road to share and unpack that a little bit. But first, I want to just say thank you to this house, to this body, for supporting financially and in prayer the mission of Warrior Circle and what we're doing on the reservations from the Southwest all the way over to the East Coast. On the tribes of North America, what God is doing and what he's getting ready to do is so amazing. It's the first time, I believe, in history that Jesus is going to be protocoled properly with the true gospel into the land, into the tribes. And when that happens, it's going to shake this whole nation for God's glory. And it's just one part of what God is doing. Because he's working on multiple levels right now. He's working in the White House from the top down. And he's working from the bottom up. He said judgment will begin in his house first. It doesn't mean judgment of destruction. It means that God's goodness leads us to repentance. And that he gets his body in order. And he gets us doing the things he wants us to do. He gets us hearing him. Okay? And once we begin to hear him, we begin to move upon it. The nature of prophecy should be action. When we hear the word of the Lord, we do the word of the Lord. And when we do the word of the Lord, it releases something on the earth that the enemy has to leave. And that's what he's calling us into at this time. He's not calling people who have it all together on the outside or who think they're perfect. He knows that we're not. He's calling people with a heart for him that says, I'll do whatever you ask me. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm faced with, no matter what struggles I have, I will do your will no matter what. Those are the people he's looking for. And in the process, he cleans us up. He tears down those things. But if we have an area where we just accepted defeat, because that's what happens a lot of times. We're like, well, I just give up. I've just accepted defeat. But if we will push forward with what he says to us, he will help us overcome. And so down in Pine Ridge, let's say maybe about 10 years ago, the Lord began to speak to me about healing the land. The land is very important biblically. It wasn't until Christianity with the Greek and the Roman mindset shut us off from the wonder of creation. Okay? But he was beginning to speak to me because back in the times of the Hebrew, spirituality was a part of every aspect of life. If rain didn't fall on the earth, it was because there was a spiritual problem, and that meant that the people would have to go and see God and repent and figure out what's stopping his flow on the earth. So this is the mentality that Jesus walked in. Now, the New Age, the forms of the occult, they corrupt and pervert what God made holy. And so what we've done a lot of times in the church is we've been fearful of things we don't understand because we haven't maybe had a perspective that biblically or an understanding of the whole of what God is doing. And we can shut ourselves off from the flow of God if we don't understand that He is wanting to be involved with every aspect of our lives, with every aspect of our communities, with every aspect of this nation. He wants to be involved with every aspect of His people, and He doesn't put that expectation upon non-believers. And when Solomon, in 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to read this verse because this is kind of the theme verse for what we're doing in Pine Ridge, and I'll explain that a little more, was given instructions beforehand if there was ever to be trouble that fell upon his people, the nation. There's instructions biblically when trouble has fallen upon this nation of what we can do. And there's only certain people that can do it, according to the word. This is 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to read that here and kind of unpack this a little more about what I believe God is wanting to do in our nation. I'll start in verse 13. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. So he says, first of all, if my people, who are his people, his followers, do you mean that the believers, the people who follow Jesus in America, have the ability to transform a nation? Yes. He's not wanting us to go out and judge the world, because the non-believer, that a person that doesn't have the Spirit, how do they understand the mysteries of God? They don't. But he said, if my people. There is an understanding that when we step in, to start to walk with him, he's calling us into a place of purpose. To be salt and light on the earth. To be a conduit to let the glory of God come into the earth. He calls us to be that. To be that salt and to be that light. And he's calling each one of us to that. One of the themes that I've heard over and over, what he's saying is, I want seekers. Our God is a seeker-friendly God. I mean, he loves seekers. If we stop seeking, we stop growing. If we stop growing, we fall into bondage. It's a continuous flow. When I was telling Dr. Robert Heiler, I was having a conversation with him at Gloria Zion last week, and he was saying, the concept of theology itself is not a good concept. Theology simply means the study of God. So we put God as a specimen for study. And we put him there, and we say, well, I have this many verses, I have the whole Bible memorized, therefore I figured out God. Look at the pride. God is infinite. He's given us enough revelation to get us through to the other side. He's given us revelation to help us to walk on the earth. He's given us revelation and instruction to put our lives in order. He's given us a lot, but he is way infinite. Amen. And when we just think we got him figured out, we better watch out. When we get stuck in last season or the last move of God, when we get stuck in the charismatic and the Pentecostal movements, those movements are dead. Because he's wanting his people now to move with him in this nation to be the salt and the light to bring transformation. Because there's a lost and dying world out there. His inheritance is out there, and we're supposed to bring it in. I mean, I love the Pentecostal movement. I love the charismatic movement. I would say I'm born out of the Pentecostal charismatic movement. And I love it. And he'll use that. I'm not saying that. I'm not putting it down. But I'm saying as I'm hungry for what he wants right now. That's all I'm saying. I'm not putting it down. I'm not criticizing it. That's how I got saved and delivered. Praise be to God that that was here. There is a shift that's in the body of Christ. And there's a choice we have to make. What we're going to put our trust in. The pastor said it well. Religion will frustrate you, confuse you, and leave you feeling disappointed. Doctrine is another funny thing. Doctrine. They say statistically in America, Americans argue about 80% of, they'll fight to the death about 80% of the stuff that they believe, but they only practice 20% of it. That's the nation. Feel the pulse and the heartbeat of the nation. Feel what's going on. And what I tell people this is that we need to come into a place where we're standing in the gap. Do you remember that? When he's calling the people to repent, not all the people were in sin. But he was calling to a nation, and that's what I was saying. This nation, where we're at in our time in history, the believers should be running out to the streets and ripping their shirt over and say, God, spare us, have mercy upon us. Because of the wickedness. You know what I see happening, though, is there's a lot of pride and a lot of arrogance. Well, let's go back to the time of the founding fathers. This nation was Christian. Let's put it back on its foundation. Well, somewhat true. There was Christian principles. The founding fathers, a lot of them were high-level Freemasons. And so what we need to do is say, God, whatever it is in this nation, I'm standing in the gap. Even on those, on behalf of the people in my community and my nation that are bound by this, are bound by that. And Father, I'm just asking forgiveness on their behalf. I'm asking you to spare this city. I'm asking you to pour out your spirit in this nation. I'm asking you to have mercy. And we stand in that place of intercession, or we stand in the gap and we begin to have a different purpose. We bring the salt and the light from our connection to him, and we bring it into the earth everywhere that we go. And all he's asking is total surrender. So he's calling. He said, if my people call by my name, and I even heard it, you know, over this city, over this region, I believe this body, God has raised up this body to be a great influence over this city, over this region. And that's you and me. He's called a people out from amongst everybody else, and he's wanting us to move into that place with him. In Pine Ridge, starting July 10th, we're going to be going through a process called Healing the Land with the team from Fiji. I don't know if you watched the George Otis Jr. films. It's the one, what's it called? Transformation, but I was trying to get the name of that one video from Fiji. Let the sea resound. So those guys that are on that video are coming to help lead the Oglala Sioux tribe through transformation on July 10th. And the support that this church has given to Warrior Circle, and Warrior Circle is facilitating that whole thing. And there's a group of about 6 Oglala tribal members that have stepped forward. There is a very traditional man who's been reading his Bible, and God has been speaking to him through that, so he's on board. There are medicine men on board. And this is the protocol of the kingdom. See, the church, we have to understand God's natural authority, and we have to understand how God moves in the earth and how honor and protocol works, because that's part of his kingdom of honor. So when he sent out his disciples, he said, go and find a place where there's peace, or find someone to welcome you and let your peace remain there. If not, shake the dust off your feet and move on. And judgment comes upon those cities that do not receive the word of the Lord. So the protocol was to go into the community with the dignity and respect of being welcomed. There's a lot of arrogance in what we do. We got the Holy Spirit, we got this, we're just going to go tell somebody something, right? That doesn't honor. And so what they're saying in Fiji, they've gone to around 100 tribes, and each of these tribes have experienced even ecological transformation. The riverways have been polluted overnight. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in the community, the pollution leaves. The fish in the rivers that have been gone, the dysfunction in the land itself, God begins to minister to the land, and it brings back a restorative order. Because we know that the gospel, it says he came to reconcile all things in heaven and earth. He has a relationship to all things in creation that I don't understand. And he's called his people in his image to be the salt and light, to bring this message of transformation. You'll know God is in the middle of it when there's great change. You'll know God is in the middle of it when he does what only he can do. Because otherwise it's just, if we can point to man or if we want to elevate man, we shut off the flow right there. Because God will not contend with that. I'm not saying we put our heads low and we say we don't have any identity or anything. We don't recognize the gift of God in us. That's another form of dysfunction that the body's got to get over. We got to call each other forth. We got to call each other out. As the royal priesthood, there are people that are carrying certain things in here, and you've been it's not that anyone shut you down, you just keep quiet. And it's time to come out now, because when you release what God has put in you, then that's activated in the earth, and then it can accomplish, his word can accomplish what it's set out to do. But if we shut it off, if we stop moving forward, if we stop being salt and light, it has great devastating impact. Because we could be speaking right here. You could be releasing a word right here, or you could be functioning in the ministry that you're doing here, and it can hit someone out there in the community at this very moment. Because the Holy Spirit can accomplish that. We've had it happen. I'm sure, Pastor, I'm sure you guys have had it. You know, people get healed from a distance. People's spirits can hear from the Spirit of God from a distance. They don't have to hear it with this ear, but they can pick something up in their spirit, because the servant of the Lord is in intercession and praying and releasing that. And in the spirit, it hits that person's spirit, and that word ignites, and there's transformation that comes. We step into that place with him that's holy and that's sacred, and that's awesome. And he's just looking for us to have a relationship with him, to be surrendered. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. He said, there's a scary thing that he said, I never knew you. All he wants to do is know us. And everything flows out of that. And then when there's so much hardship and there's so much turmoil, and we feel like we're coming up against the wall, we take a step back and we wait. Because when he's involved with it, even if there's turmoil, he'll push it through and there'll be a peace. We wage war from rest in him. And the other thing is, we wage war because we realize that he is the mighty warrior and he fights our battles. And when we're in that place with him, and when we're in that place of surrender with him, there is nothing that can stop us, because we are more than conquerors. But we stop seeking many times. We stop seeking him. We stop putting our trust in him. And it stops that flow that he wants to have in our lives. And so the starting July 10th, we'll have the opening time. There's 6 days of teaching. And the teaching is, they're going to teach about 6 things that defile the land and the people in an area. And they're going to call corporately the people to repent of the defilement. And as they begin to do that, now this is just the testimonies. I haven't walked through this before, so I'm just hearing from the testimonies of what happened before. But I guess the Holy Spirit just begins to draw people like a magnet to that location. And a lot of the things that are happening over cities right now, that God's people become aware and mobilized to do, to intercede in a way that he wants us to intercede, to be open to doing things that he wants us to do. For example, one of the places where they're also doing this in Canada amongst the Inuit people right now, they were in prayer. Now, these are most of these are non-believers. So they're the elders of the community, the gatekeepers, that we go through the gatekeepers. If the gatekeepers don't want us there, we don't go. Because if the gatekeepers open up and the leaders open up, they're inviting Jesus into the land and he can come in and bust all the chains. And so they were over there and one of the elders had a vision and she was showing this place where they used to have the men go out on this iceberg, and then they would, it was like a challenge to one another. Maybe they had disagreement or something, but they would fight till the death. So that's bloodshed going into the water over many years. And the Lord showed her that they needed to go out there and they needed to pray and repent of that, for entertaining that in their tribe, for allowing that to be a practice. And when they did that, now, the caribou herds had moved out of that region. There hadn't been hardly any caribou. They hadn't been able to hunt caribou or anything in their area because of the defilement on the ground. Their provision was taken from them. They wake up the next morning at the place they went and they prayed. There was 14,000 newly created caribou that God poured out his provision back, because there was an offense that was stopping the move. And see, that's how deliverance works in our lives. Is if we're fully seeking him and we run up against a barrier or something, or a stronghold or something that's stopping us, he is so gentle to give us the revelation that will set us free. He is so gentle to point it out. So really, we have no excuse to be in bondage. The only thing we're doing is we're just really saying no to God, who loves us and wants to set us free. And then he's called people to come around us and to help us. Sometimes when we're breaking free from stuff or we're moving into something, he will often use people. That's why the body is so important. The body coming together is so important. And so for July 10th through the 24th, we do 6 days of teaching, and then the rest of the work will be going out and doing home visits in the community, and we'll be going and doing some praying at some sacred sites where there's been altars to ancient gods, and we're going to just do a process of repentance, asking God that those gods no longer will be our gods, but he will come into the land and be our God, and that he will set the captives free. You know, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, right? So basically, his dominion and authority stands over any other authority. And so when we speak from his believers, we proclaim his word, we proclaim his authority in the spiritual realm. It goes out and accomplishes that. But we have to ignite that with our faith. And see, if we're totally surrendered to him and we don't, you know, this is what's really hard to get across. It's like we don't come to him and then just have a whole bunch of stuff on our page and saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I have. This is who I am. This is what I'm not willing to do. This is what I'm willing to do. My terms and agreements, the fine print. There's no way that you can have what I'm talking about with anything like that. Because we give him a blank page and we ask him to fill in the details of our life, him to write the pages of our book. We surrender to Him and let His life flow through us. And that's the people, the royal priesthood, the holy nation. There's a lot more, there's a lot of other things that He's doing to establish His kingdom here in the earth. But this word it came to me 5 times on the way back home from Pine Ridge yesterday. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first. He said, I'm calling seekers. And He said, call seekers. And hear all the prophetic words and messages through the worship that were coming through. We're seekers. He just wants us to be seekers. Oh, I got to get myself all cleaned up in this before I can be a seeker, because I seen sister so-and-so, and this is how she looks, and I seen brother so-and-so, this is how his walk looks. But He said, seek first. He'll clean you up in the process, but seek first. Seek first. And then as we go through those things, and He begins to deal with us, and see, I think in our fast food culture, we get it really, really backwards, because we want instant deliverance without no process. That's not how it works. I know people who've been instantly delivered from alcohol, and I pray for that, and I know God can do it, and He does do it. But then I've seen the Lord also walk someone who's in alcoholism through a process of deliverance. These things inside of us that we don't like about ourselves, but we just wish we can change. And then when they don't change, then we say, well, God must not be real, or He must not love me, but He didn't promise us that. He promised us victory, but each one of us is unique, and He walks us through, and He heals us, and His timing, and He does these things. And we don't have to get way out ahead, and we don't have to do that. Otherwise, we start to operate out of an orphan spirit. Otherwise, we operate out of a spirit of offense. If you are in God's kingdom, I mean, I have feelings of offense. But if you're in God's kingdom, you have no right to be offended about anything. There is no possible way you can be offended in God's kingdom. Because it's not our life anymore, it's His life living through us. And He modeled that for on the cross, because He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if someone was putting me on a cross and butchering me, I would not look down upon those who are playing gambling over my garment and say, Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do in my flesh. And He was innocent. So He's bringing the body into a place of maturity to deal with what's being done in this nation. He's bringing people who won't limit themselves on last season, but will hold themselves to the word, but move with Him by revelation, by the revealing of Himself. When's the last time you heard from God? Can you actually say that? I know God gave me a word. I was in my word, and His, you know, He speaks to us in different ways, right? We have the 5 senses. We have His word. He speaks through us. We have the accountability of His word. But some people, He speaks through dreams and visions. He said in the last days, dreams and visions will increase. Prophecy will increase. So what I'm seeing with that is that activity with His body, His royal priesthood, which we all are, the activity of Him communicating with His people to accomplish His last day's purpose will increase. These signs will follow those who believe. And so what He's just saying is just He wants us to get in, jump fully in. And there are people here that are fully in, fully surrendered, fully going after it. And God, you're hearing from God. And there's intercessors and watchmen over this city from different denominations. And they're hearing the word of the Lord. And they're trying. They're God's using them to divert things over this community. But when when we all come into that revelation, when we have a vision that's greater than ourselves, oh no. God's kingdom is a vision greater than ourselves. And it can only be accomplished by His power. You know what the enemy tries to do? He tries to stop vision. If the Lord has brought through His leaders vision, and for whatever reason it gets stopped by man, it's not the purpose of God. He has a kingdom government. Did you know that? He's called some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. He's called His fivefold to what? To prepare the body to be ministers. Every person in this room is a minister. First, a minister before the Lord as a priest. We come into His presence with thanksgiving and praise, and we come and we minister to Him. He ministers to us. What else did the priests do? They did activities on behalf of the people that were out there. There's one place I've really been thinking about this lately where He gave us, the disciples, the ability to forgive sin. Ooh. I don't understand that one. I'm not going to go forgive no one's sins. Don't worry. I don't have that. I don't feel like I have that right to do that. What I'm saying is He wants us to participate with Him on such a deep level that religion has done everything it can to stop. And I have great hope for this nation, because I have great hope in our God, and I have great hope that there are people that are still willing to listen to Him in this nation, are still willing to act upon what He's saying. I have great hope. I have great hope that the tribal nations, we will see entire tribes completely sold out for Jesus. There's a lot of stuff, and I don't want to get too heavy into it, but there's a lot of stuff God has been revealing to me about the roots and foundations of this land that He wants His people to repent of so we can see the breakthrough. There's efforts going on all over, but it's very deep what God is doing, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of it. I'm not saying it's easy, and the Lord's just given me peace, but that's what I'm talking about. Can we listen to the point where one word can be a transformative word? You know, God may ask you to do something crazy like go and walk around that school over there 7 times, kick the enemy out. I'm not saying that's what you should do. But if we're not even open and listening, then imagine all the stuff that gets by on our watch that we're responsible for, that we could be doing something about. This is a hotbed for the occult, Sisseton. I don't know if you know that. And what their goal is, because of the perversion, is they try to tie up an area or a region spiritually. And part of that is to weaken the church. Okay? That's the enemy's goal. He can only do that if the church is sleeping. But if we're awake and the watchmen are awake and we're watching the walls of those cities, and we can see in that, and we can see behind the walls of what's going on, we can say, Father, have mercy. Would you save the city for just 10? Would you rend the heavens and come down? Open up, you ancient gates. Open up, you ancient doors. Let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? Yahweh. Wow, that's what we're contending for. And if you've been going through battles, that's why you've been going through battles. All battles, the weariness of battle and the wounds of battle often identify that you're called. Because Jesus said this, He said, you will pick up your cross and follow Me. He gives us a cross when we're saved. Each one of us has a different portion. We're not all going to suffer in the same ways, but he said, because of this world, you're going to suffer all kinds of things. But that doesn't change this. That doesn't change me from hearing, from being surrendered. I don't care if my limb falls off. I am going to do what you called me to do. This is the inheritance of the saints, that they love their life, not unto death. Whew. And we come to him. And we seek him for a vision. There is no visionless person who walks in the kingdom. It's impossible to walk in the kingdom and not have vision for your life, for the kingdom, for the body. It's impossible. But that's why he's saying, the seekers. I'm calling forth the seekers. So I just wanted to thank each and every one of you, because I don't know, knowingly or unknowingly, I don't know if you know, this body is supporting what's happening in Pine Ridge, investing into what God is doing, investing into the kingdom. And so you're a part of me, I'm a part of you, you're a part of the kingdom. Your body's a part of what's happening in Pine Ridge. And so I'm just grateful. Father, right now, we just thank you, Lord. We just give you praise right now for who you are. I first and foremost humble myself before you. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that you would wash over anything, Lord, in my life. Lord, anything I said or done I shouldn't have done, and anything, Lord, that I should have done that I didn't do, Father, I thank you that you're so faithful. And Lord, would you just cause, Lord, just such an alignment to happen now with us and you, with your purposes. And Father, would you refocus, Father, all the believers in this region. Father, would you just refocus your body to get on board with whatever your vision is for this community, for this area, Father, for this body. And so, Father, we just surrender to you. And we stand in the gap now for Sisseton, South Dakota. Father, would you forgive? We repent on behalf, Father, of all the defilement, all the things, Father, that are going on. And we stand in the gap, Father, and we ask that you pour your spirit out upon all flesh in this region. We ask, Father, that salvation would be poured out. Father, we ask, Father, that signs and wonders and miracles would be released. And Father, that people would see you and they would come into your kingdom. And Lord, that your people would be able to not only speak the word, but demonstrate the word. And that we would see the multitudes come in. And over this nation, Father, we ask that you cover over, Lord. We ask for forgiveness for the idolatry, Lord. We ask for the forgiveness of shutting you out. And Father, we ask that you move from the top, from President Donald Trump, all the way down and from the bottom up, that you would begin to pour out your spirit and that we would participate in this harvest that you want to bring in. And so, Father, I just thank you that even now there's a clarity coming upon your people. Lord, to decipher what exactly it is that we need to be doing at this hour. There's a reprioritization of lives that's coming. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that the dreams and the vision that have come from you, in any way the enemy has tried to stop, Father, we reignite that and we focus on that, and we say that your will be done. And Father, we don't want to let the dreams and the visions die that you've given us. And Father, we just call them forth. And Lord, we just say to the enemy who you've given us dominion and authority over, that the Lord rebuke you over the lives of the believers in this region. Satan, the Lord rebuke you over all finances, all resources right now. All the areas, Lord, of all that you've called to be a light in this area, your people. And we ask for salvation, and we ask for revelation to come upon the non-believer, that they would know how great and how awesome you are. And they would know the love of the perfect Father. So, Father, we just thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.